Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is an investigation into new ways of thinking, new ways of looking at the body, mind, spirit. And tonight I have a doctor who's making a revolution with special therapies. He's part of a film called The God Cells. It's about fetal cell injections, and I think this could be a revolution in medicine. So Dr. William Rader, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
Can we talk a little bit about your history? Because you were quite the celebrity in the 60s and 70s, appearing on the Merv Griffin Show and lots of the popular television show. What were you known for back then when you became a kind of popular doctor?
Well, I was the medical expert for many programs, including KABC here in Los Angeles, for 11 years during the 80s, and other programs. At that time, there weren't many medical experts. So the topics were varied, but usually topics that were not covered at that particular time. I'm sure you've covered lots of them that we did back then. And there was a point that I decided that I was going to start doing something else. I always seem to be doing something that others aren't, and as soon as they get involved, then I move on. And what I became very involved with was fetal stem cell treatment.
We can get into that, but just tell me, what were some of the things you were involved in back then that were revolutionary for the time?
Well, I was one of the first to deal with eating disorders, bulimia, anorexia as a disease. I was the chief scientist or chief psychiatrist of the U.S. Navy at that time, dealing with alcoholism, and I helped set up the Benny Ford Center in Palm Springs. Now it's, kind of an obvious thing that alcoholism is a disease, and there are programs all over the place using Alcoholics Anonymous as a base. But I was one of the first to discuss that it really is a disease, and then I started to talk about that it was a family disease, that the whole family was involved, and that you have the spouse of the alcoholic, and you now have something called Al-Anon, where the spouse of the alcoholic sees how they're involved in that. Those were some of the early things that I did.
You were a revolutionary even before your time. You were sort of the Dr. Oz of the 60s and 70s, weren't you?
Yes. At that time, there wasn't anybody else doing that kind of medicine, so to speak, and giving out information that was never given out before. One of the things that I did was talk about homosexuality, for example. At that time, it was not understood at all, and there was a lot of anxiety and anger about people who were gay, and I was one of the first to do an in-depth study and present it on what being gay is really about. And as you know, it's not a choice. And everybody thought, well, this is just a choice, that they don't need to be doing this kind of behavior. And now we see it differently.
So in a way, you were combined medicine with a social revolution, a new way of looking at alcoholism, homosexuality, and it's sort of what you're doing now. You're changing the ideas of what medicine's about with these fetal cell injections. So let's talk about.
I really appreciate, by the way, how you put it a little earlier. Before, let's say the 20th century, that drugs was medicine. Now, in the 21st century, drugs are going to start to disappear, and we're dealing with things such as fetal stem cells.
They'll disappear, but the only problem is, as you know, the pharmaceutical companies have such a strong hand in directing medical procedures. I think that's been the whole problem with you.
Oh, absolutely. You seem to really know your stuff about this. Yes, besides losing a fortune, the whole issue of making drugs and ignoring anything else is really becoming prominent. There isn't anybody else who's involved with at the level that it's called Stem Cell of America is involved with using something other than drugs. You know, drugs are all about keep using it and using it and using it. The side effects of many of these drugs is larger than what the illness is. They're advertising on radio and television, and they don't even sometimes say what the problem is. They say, go see your doctor, you're going to feel better. They don't even say about what.
It's awful. It's starting to change. I stay away from, more people would be a lot better, healthier if they stayed away from drugs, even over-the-counter drugs, even non-prescription. It's just awful. And well, it's another topic, but I just interviewed the people who put together that movie Vax about vaccines, but that's a whole other thing. But, and we don't have to get into that, but let's talk about stem cell, fetal stem cells, which in a way I do have a little problem with, not religiously, but it's like, it's a little strange harvesting, the stem cells from aborted fetuses yes, it's helping people, but I don't know, it feels a little creepy to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand. First of all, the cells that we use come from Eastern Europe, and abortion happens to be one of the ways that they do birth control. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to us, but that's what they do. We at the Stem Cell of America have been able to develop a system where one fetus can provide enough material to treat thousands of patients. We have nothing to do with the abortion. The abortion is going to happen anyway. Mm. So we ask the mother whether she is going to allow it to be thrown away as routine medical waste or maybe use it to help save the life of a child, for example.
But it does seem a little silly to, I'm sure there's thousands of abortions done every single day in this country. Why do you have to go to Eastern Europe to get the fetal cells?
Because in Eastern Europe, as I said, abortion is one of the primary methods of birth control. Right. So it's going on all the time, and the material is being thrown away.
But it's going all the time in this country as well. You know, there's lots of
abortion. Oh, but we have an attitude that they don't have, and they do understand that it can be of help.
Mm-hmm. So here, the fetus...
In this country, the religious pushes away any other issue, such as saving a child's life. And we also have the drug company, as you mentioned. I mean, you should be on this end of the telephone. Drug companies... who are definitely against it, they're going to lose a fortune.
So the fetal tissue or the abortions that are done in this country, there's no possibility of getting the stem cells from these fetuses in this country. Is that what you say? Is it against the law here?
It is against the law, yes, if you were to use it. Let me give you a little idea about a fetus. A fetus has immune preference, which means you can give the material from any fetus to any person, and there's no rejection. That's very, very important. Most of the research that's going on in this country is trying to avoid rejection by doing something to match the person you're giving the cells to. And that's a lot of research going on in that area. There isn't a necessity for a match. We at Stem Cell of America have been doing it for 20 years. Over 3,000 patients have been treated and not one rejection, and there isn't any matching going on, and there isn't any immunosuppressive drugs being given in what we're doing.
No,
so if
I
you
know.
Think about it. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying the movie is quite phenomenal. The God Cells, which is playing in New York right now and in Los Angeles, opening in Los Angeles on June 10th. I mean, it shows how these people were not helped by any drugs, but when they started to take these fetal cell injections, they had remarkable recoveries. This is a miracle cure.
It is. And again, you should be on this side of the phone because you're so sophisticated and also open. I mean, people are just not physicians. They say this isn't going to work. We send a patient back to their physician who has a untreatable disease, who's been told by their physician that they're going to die, and the person does very well. You'll see that in the God Cells, that Parkinson's patient who couldn't eat hardly because she had to grab her hand to be able to put the food next to her mouth. And you'll see in that documentary that she's playing the piano. A Parkinson's patient is playing golf and not shaking and not having any difficulty walking the entire golf course. All these things mean nothing to the physician because he hasn't been taught that. Yeah. He's been taught not to deal with that. And then, of course, there's the religious and the drug company. But we have definite prejudices in this country. And you, if you were to see that documentary and to see the changes in the people, you know that they're not actors, that they're real people who are going to die or were suffering from terrible effects of their disease.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, the documentary is very powerful. How long have you been doing this work for?
20 years.
And only recently?
Over 3,000 treatments, patients.
And how many percentages were considerably increased out of that 3,000 people?
That had positive results.
Yes.
At least 90%.
Wow. Wow. And I mean, just looking at the documentary, you could see these people have had their lives changed. But when was it that the state of California revoked your medical license?
I don't remember exactly. It's probably about a year or two. The reason they revoked it is that they wanted me to do something that would be harmful to patients, and that is to give every patient an immunosuppressive drug. A drug that would suppress their immune system. And
why?
For example, if you're talking about a bubble boy, it would be giving him poison. There was no need for it. And when we explained,
why did they want you to do that?
Because that's the rule. That's what they do. In every other kind of transplant, with any other kind of stem cell, you have to do that because you have to match the person. I told you that the fetal stem cell has immune preference. That you don't have to do that. You'd think that everybody would know that because it's phenomenal. You don't need a bone marrow registry. They spend over $1 billion maintaining bone marrow registries with 14 million people registered, and the fetal stem cell is better than your twin brother or sister because you don't need to match. And there's no rejection. And it's what I'm telling you is so crazy that it's not known. And if you ask medical experts, they're going to tell you that that's not true. And when you tell them, here are the records, over 3,000 patients have never gotten a match and never had immunosuppressive drugs. Immunosuppressive drugs are very dangerous. Anyway, they're going to do what it is that they did before. And that's the way it is. And it doesn't matter that you present in front of them. In fact, at the trial, my lawyer was O.J. Simpson's lawyer, Robert Shapiro, and he said to one of the experts, by the way, there were two experts, and none of them had any experience with fetal stem cells. They just had experience with stem cells. And he said, well, what happens if you saw 10 patients that never were matched and never had an immunosuppressive drug and they did well? Would that change your mind in any way? No. Well, what about 100? No. What about 1,000? No. Can you imagine? This is all now in trial form that you can read it. That's how arrogant they are. That, wait a second, if there's 1,000 people, don't you think you should give it some consideration?
Well, and sure. That's going against the rule of science, repeatable,
right.
Observable experiment. So why is this medical establishment so stuck in these old ideas?
Well, they're stuck in old ideas for a lot of reasons. That when you become a doctor, it's almost as if, actually, in medical school, when you graduate, you bend down and they put this green thing around you and you come up a doctor. You have doctors speak, you know, like you have cops speak a certain way, doctors speak a certain way, and they feel that now that they know everything. If you really want to get help, then go to an intern or a resident who's nervous about it rather than thinking he knows everything. And once they think they know everything, no one questions them. And also, if they say something, the patient just doesn't check it out and doesn't find out whether this is accurate, what they're saying, what they're doing. I mean, they used to bleed people. They used to do what's called trephining.
Which is not a bad practice. I studied acupuncture, so I'm an acupuncturist. I still bleed people, and sometimes for blood stagnation, actually bleeding people might actually help them. But I mean, that's
yes, in a specific incident, but
yes.
Not bottom line, just bleed them.
Right. No,
they are.
I mean, yes. So you're saying the medical practices are basically as primitive as they were. Like maybe, I mean, you're not saying just that, but you're saying yeah, there's a long way to go in our understanding of medicine is what I interpret you saying. And
there are many, many things besides the fetal stem cells that are very helpful and are superior to what is being done routinely by medical personnel or doctors. And they won't look at it. They just won't. Another reason is the economics of it. If you are doing general medicine and you don't use fetal stem cells and all of a sudden doctors are using it, why would anybody go to the general medicine person who's not using it? It's a very benign process. It takes less than an hour, simple IV, some cells under the skin, no negative. Again, I mentioned that every drug, just about, has a negative and sometimes stronger than what the problem is. And they're afraid of that. They're afraid of new information.
It makes me angry to hear how backwards these doctors are. I mean, of course, I've seen that up close. When my father was sick, he said he was going to change his diet, and his oncologist said, no, that's ridiculous. So, I mean...
Oh, God.
I know, it's so...
All right, so just take that one thing that
yes.
you just said. It's unbelievable. Now, today we have some thought about changing the diet. But, of course, you're putting something in your body.
Mm.
And for the doctors, see, what you said is the typical thing. Don't do it. It's ridiculous. Wait a second. Why not just say, I don't know, sounds good to me, or doesn't sound good to me, but why don't you go ahead and try changing your diet? But then we have the revolution of all the different diets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But what they told your father is what was told, and I'm going to repeat something. The arrogance is to say don't do it. That's arrogant.
Well,
not to say I don't know, but to say don't do it.
Yeah, you should be on Dr. Oz because you're part of a medical revolution. I mean, what was your problem? I mean, of course, you always had an open mind because you were looking at things from a different point of view. But what was your first awareness of fetal stem cells? How did you first come upon it?
I've been involved in many different things in medicine. I told you I was the chief psychiatrist for the alcohol program of the U.S. Navy. Then I had one of the first HIV AIDS programs in Latin America, and I was doing research at a major university, and all these things. And there was a group in Eastern Europe who had been trying to get the information out for years and heard about this guy, this nut or whatever it is, who was doing all these things, and they called me. And when they called me, I asked them a lot of questions, and then I said, I'd like to come and see, it was the Ukraine at that time, I'd like to come and see what you're doing, but you have to allow me to do whatever I want. I want to talk to patients, I want to talk to you, I want to see records, I want all of these. And they said, okay. 10 days later, I'm on an Air Ukraine plane, and then when I saw the miracles, and they're not miracles, they just are something that people are not used to or know about, that I just gave up everything else I was doing and dedicated my career to working with fetal stem cells, thinking, oh, how exciting this is, and I'll be able to tell people about it, and they're going to change. And no, not at all. It's the opposite. I became a pariah. Yet when I was on television and the radio and as a psychiatrist and talking about all these other issues, everything was very positive. As soon as I moved to this area, it became negative. I imagine that you went through and are still going through the same process that I'm talking about, that you got, you put a guest on, and they're giving you a hard time about doing that.
Well, this is an alternative radio station, and I could do anything. This is kind of like, this is okay, because this, I mean, with the internet, there's a lot of venues for alternative ideas, and that's why I seek out people like you. That's why I call the program New Realities, because it's about changing our perception of what we know. So my whole business or model is to talk about these things that people don't talk about, and that's what's exciting. So,
well, that's fabulous. But what I was referring to, and I still believe it's true, that there's traditional doctors, et cetera, who give you a hard time for putting something like what we're doing tonight on.
Yeah, but I don't talk to those people. I'm really on the fringe myself. So, you know, but I think the word has to get out there, and I think this film is a great idea. And you were saying, though, and we'll get back to the film, but you were saying there's other things besides fetal stem cells that also make a big difference. What were you talking about?
Well, let's get back to what you were telling me about diet.
Yes.
That's so obvious. And also we're finding out that there are new kinds of things that you can have and take that are just on the grocer's shelf and that are ignored. There are various, there's something called hypothermia, H-Y-P-E-R, increased temperature. Let me just give you this one fact, and this is not done in the United States. At one time, I owned a hospital in Germany. It's done in Germany. Now, you have a tumor, right? Cancer. Well, cancer has a very high arterial supply, which is blood to it, because it requires a lot of energy producing material like sugars, etc. It has a normal venous supply, blood away. So let's think for a second. If you heat the tumor, then what's going to happen is that the heat's going to go in because it's through an artery, and it can't get out in a normal fashion, because the vein is normal. It's not large like the artery. It's not any different. So you have a heat sink. And when you have a heat sink, it destroys the tumor. Well, it's amazing. I mean, the things that they're doing in Germany, what we were doing at this hospital, and it's an obvious thing. And it's not dangerous, not in the right hands. You check, obviously, the temperature as you're increasing it. And it's cheap. That's the main problem. That the doctor here in the States can mark up chemotherapy more than any other drug that we have. So they're going to use the chemotherapy. I'm not saying not to use chemotherapy, but if you use chemotherapy, what you should do, which they're not doing, and we were doing, is that you should take a petri dish, put chemotherapeutic agents in various wells, like at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever. And what you do then is then you put the tumor material in there, and you see which one destroys the tumor. Not necessarily completely, but which is the best one? Which is your best chance? What we do here, you have this particular tumor? Well, on page 89, it says to use this particular drug. That's insane. Everybody's different. Also, there are things called tumor markers we use here, but not to the extent that they use it in Europe. A tumor marker shows you, before you can see a tumor increase, before anything, it shows you that this tumor is not being affected by that particular chemotherapy. What an obvious thing to do.
And they're not doing
they're not doing it.
They're not doing anything like that in this country, are they?
No, on a very, very limited basis. One, I told you, like with a hypothermia, it's not very profitable at all. Two, it takes work. It takes thinking. It takes experimenting. It takes time. It takes all these things that the doctor's not interested in. The average doctor talks to the patient for about 4 minutes. And who is the greatest source of information about that patient? The patient. But you don't make money talking to them for 4 minutes. You make money writing a prescription for them.
It's insane. So if you were to go and redo medical education, you would create a whole new curriculum. How would you go about re-educating doctors?
You can't re-educate somebody who, I'm laughing because what just crossed my mind is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
How can certain people accept what he says when everything is proven that it's not true and he's lying, he's purposely lying?
Right.
I don't know which, you know, who you're going to vote for.
Oh, come
but
on.
The bottom line, how can people accept that?
Anyone with intelligence knows that he's an idiot, but go ahead.
So therefore, if they're accepting those things from Trump, well, medicine accepts those things that are going on, and they don't want to change anything. And they're worried about the economics of changing things. And someone else comes across something, like I told you, going back to the hypothermia, there's no money in it. There's absolutely no money in it compared to the traditional treatments.
Well, also in Europe, they're using homeopathy, I mean, a lot, but I heard of one treatment where they're injecting homeopathic remedies into tumor sites to dissolve that as well. I mean, I think that's called, it's a type of therapy, but there's lots of alternative therapies that...
Yes, you're right. There are lots, and it's not known, and when you do something... what crossed my mind is, first of all, when I realized what the medical board was doing, and it was a kangaroo court, and there would be no way that I can get any information out, what I decided to do was turn in my license. So I voluntarily surrendered my license. They didn't accept it. They sent it back so that they could reject my license because it looked better for them.
They wanted to make an example of you. It's like they were...
Yes, that's to stop someone else from doing something else that's new.
That's like...
I mean, that they said in the court, and it's in the, typed up on the court papers, even if Dr. Rader is right and years ahead of his time, it's not the standard of care. What a catch-22. So anytime someone does something new, it's not the standard of care. And that's one of the main reasons that they revoked my license.
That's insane. That's not science.
Of course it's insane. And it's in writing. You could read it. But
so
they don't care. They're very arrogant. And they can say something like that. It's not the standard of care.
But you still have a, even though the state of California revoked your license, you still have a clinic in Tijuana, right?
Yes,
over the border.
But I am now the chief scientist, and I'm not the doctor.
Oh, because you can practice Well, I guess you need a doctor's license in Mexico, right?
Yeah, but I'm not. That's not of concern to me, because the program is there. We have doctors, and the research is me. So, I'm not really that concerned. Through the research that we've done, we've been able to, as I told you earlier, take the material from one fetus and treat thousands of patients. Wow. So,
are you the only place in North America that people can have that kind of treatment, or are there others?
There are others, but they're not doing exactly what I'm doing, and there aren't that many others. Because what we do is we have conscious behavior to take care of patients. I shouldn't be saying this on the radio.
No, you could say this. It's okay.
20% free treatment. And I determine that it's usually a child. It's usually people who don't have money and things like that. But you won't believe that if somebody who's a millionaire finds out that I'm doing that, then why aren't they getting free treatment?
Well, is it expensive to fly these fetal cells over? I mean, is that the
cost? Oh, yes, of course. Yes. You really are good, by the way. By the way, there's no such thing as good taste. It's when somebody agrees with your taste.
Right.
But I agree with you. You're really terrific. You're welcome. It's how I see it. I see you as a fellow alien.
Yes.
Because you take all the people that you bump into and you ask them the questions that we're talking about, they're going to think that you're nuts, or they think that I'm nuts, or it's not true.
I've studied alternative. I mean, of course, there are times you need a Western doctor, but there's most of the time there are alternatives. I've studied vibrational medicine and all that, and the, you know, Rife machines and some of the stuff that you can't even do. I mean, I know there's truth behind it, and sometimes people go a little overboard, but there is alternatives that we have to wake up to if we're going to become an evolutionary culture, you know?
Absolutely.
That's why I'm interested in your work, and I didn't realize what a revolutionary you were since from the 60s onward, and I think it's important. So I want to put this word out there whatever way I can through whatever networks I have. So let's go deeper into it. So your major cost then is getting the fetal tissue from Eastern Europe. Is that the major cost?
And doing research projects, for example, the one that I just told you, that one fetus can supply the material for thousands of patients. That took a number of years and a lot of money and a lot of equipment, et cetera, to be able to do that. That's an amazing thing that I just told you, that the fetus, again, has immune preference, that because there's no rejection, you're able to grow them in a way that, and using various reagents, et cetera, in a way that people don't realize and think is not true. But it is true.
So let me understand this. So there's an abortion somewhere in Eastern, wherever, Ukraine, and then they freeze the... what actually happens? What is actually sent to you?
All right, you have the pathologist who takes the fetus when the woman agrees and then separates from the brain the neuronal cells. By the way, the fetus, I don't know if I mentioned it, is the only stem cell where you can get pure neuronal cells.
And those cells are
wonderful for Parkinson's, et cetera.
Neuroidal cells are undeveloped neurons. Is that what a neuroidal cell is?
Well, they're stem cells, yes. Then they're taken, and also from the liver. The liver at that time is basically the bone marrow. It's taken the pluripotent immune cell, which is the bone marrow cell, and they take that, and then we freeze it. But it's not that easy to do either, because you have to have special equipment. You lower the temperature, you raise the temperature, you do all that. And then you put it in liquid nitrogen, which is 196 degrees below zero centigrade. and then you place it in special doers, which are tanks that absorb the liquid nitrogen, because you can't put on a plane liquid that's nitrogen. So it absorbs it so that it just releases the cold, but there's no liquid, and then it's sent to Germany, because I consider that the best lab, or one of the best labs in the world, and they repeat the tests that we do at our lab, and obviously you have to pay them, and it's called PCR DNA testing, which is the best testing that's known to man today, and then it's sent to the clinic, and then right before the patient gets it, it's reconstituted and brought back alive.
Would it be more effective, let's say, if you could use local fetal stem cells, or does it not matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, it would be great. It would save costs, but it really wouldn't matter because they could, you know, like sperm, 20 years later, they defrost it. It's viable.
Okay, I didn't know. I mean, because sometimes it's better to eat, you know, fresh as opposed to frozen, you know, but I...
Oh, no. Okay, if you want it fresh, then you're going back to the problems that people are afraid of, that people who get pregnant to get the cells. I mean, that would be insane to do that.
Yeah.
This way, it's sitting there waiting for the patient, and that there's no need to get pregnant to get the cells, because you have more than enough material.
Okay, so then you get the cells from Germany to your clinic in Tijuana, and then you have to separate the cells, or are they all ready to be injected?
No, they're neuronal cells and the pluripotent hematopoietic stem cells. A pluripotent hematopoietic stem cell means that pluripotent means it could be any of the 220 cell types of the body. And that's why it's so wonderful, because when you give it to a patient, they go all over the place and find where the pathology is and either help repair or actually become the cell that's destroyed. I mean, it's just a phenomenal process, but it's all about nature, God, etc., not about man doing anything.
What I'm doing is
this mechanical nonsense.
But the cells are
the ones who are really doing it.
No, I just want to slow down the biological process. So you then inject or drip the solution with the cells, the stem cells, into the patient's body. Is that what
Correct.
You're saying? Through the arm, through a vein in the arm, like a typical drip, right?
Right, but that's the hematopoietic cell. The neuronal cell is placed subcutaneously under the skin, picked up by the lymphatics, crosses the soluble blood-brain barrier, fat-soluble, and gets into the central nervous system, which is the brain and the spinal cord.
And then you're saying...
It's all done in an hour. It's not painful. There's no negative side effect. So the patient goes home the same day.
But wait, but the biology part, I just want to understand. You're saying that these cells then find the area in the body that needs to be supported. I mean, talk about the actual biology of it, you know.
Okay. Recently, over the past few years, they've discovered fetal stem cells in when a mother dies, and it could be 20 years later sometime, they find fetal stem cells in an area where there was damage. For example, this one mother had liver damage, and they found fetal stem cells in her liver that migrated from the fetus across the placental barrier and went to the liver. They have that capacity. Again, the fetus is the size of your pinky fingernail, and it gets to be you and I. We don't stop and think, my God, the power this thing has, and the power for repair, the power for growth. I mean, it is amazing.
But when these cells that you put in patients' bodies are used...
By the way, I don't do it, of course. We have IV nurses, and we have Mexican doctors.
Right, but I'm saying when they're put in, the stem cell then goes to wherever the damage is in the body, just on
its own. Absolutely.
Okay, that's the part.
It's quite an obvious thing. How come if you cut yourself, you have a scab?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's that about? How come the scab didn't appear someplace else?
So
the body is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
But that's the thing I think that's so remarkable is the fact that these stem cells from another body are useful without autosuppressants or anything like that in, you know, our bodies, and they help regenerate tissue that way. I think that's
absolutely.
And so you don't have to have a life-threatening disease. I mean, anyone could do it and probably be benefited from it. I mean, you don't have to tell me.
Oh, absolutely. What's interesting is it doesn't matter why the patient is coming there, but the patient, for example, if he's a golfer, he's a better golfer because his reflexes are better, even though that the cells primarily took care of some disease process. That they eventually go all over, and it is the closest thing known to the fountain of youth, and it's all about our immune system that keeps us going as we get older. There's something called a telomere, which protects us, protects the DNA, and you get the fetus's telomere, and therefore you live longer, you're healthier, mentally quicker, no matter what it is that you're seeking the fetal stems for.
Well, have you done it just on your own to help you feel better?
Yes.
You have,
absolutely.
And how do you feel?
Yes.
How do you feel?
You don't have a picture of me there, do you?
I did see a picture of you in the film.
So I'm 78 years old.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at that picture, that's what I look like. What happens is the skin, for example, is the largest organ. And what it does is it turns your skin into a much, much, much younger skin. And therefore, you look much, much younger. And as I said, your reflexes are better. Everything is like turning back the clock. But I'm not a salesman here. And I'm not that interested in that aspect of what it does. I'm more interested in a child who has a disease that is not treatable, supposedly. And yet after they get treatment, they do extremely well. Because the cells are doing extremely well.
That's one thing I wanted to clear up that wasn't clear in the movie. So someone comes to you with a serious illness of some sort. It doesn't say how long the treatment protocol is or it depends on conditions. I mean, what's a normal treatment? Is it 20 sessions or 10? I mean, how does that work?
With the fetal stem cell, though, greater percentage of time, it's one or two treatments. And by the way, what we do, the second treatment, is reduce the price dramatically. And the price is also adjusted to who it is that we're talking about. So there are other patients who come many times. We have, for example, I'm thinking of a mother who has a child. This is an exact case. And that child had one treatment, suffered from epilepsy, serious, serious epilepsy. And the seizures stopped. We had a friend of hers who, that child, they didn't stop. They stopped after a year. You can't, you know, predict that.
Right.
So it's different with everyone. But no, we're not talking about coming back and coming back and coming back. Because the cells stay there. They grow. They grow 3,000 times faster than normal cell, controlled, of course. And it depends on the individual, what's going on with that particular individual and their genetics, how long it takes. But typically, no, you're not getting 10 treatments or something like that.
Well, but if someone has, let's say, Parkinson or MS or one of those types of very serious autoimmune, is there a typical protocol for those patients?
Could you be – I'm sorry, I didn't get what was –
No, I'm saying if someone has a typical –
What patients are we talking about?
I'm saying if someone has like MS or Parkinson's.
All right, let's talk about MS.
Yeah,
well, let's talk about Parkinson's. No, it doesn't necessarily take that many treatments. MS, as you know, is a matter of the insulation of the nerve being destroyed, so there's no signal going. Well, this thing builds that. In fact, when they do MRIs, they can see the plaques disappear, and obviously, symptomatically, the patient gets better. That's that one patient that you saw in the video.
Yes. Well, so I see. So, what is it? I mean, it's overwhelming that this is being ignored when it could help so many people be healthy, live quality lives, get over their illness. It's shocking that it's not being embraced
not being embraced, but they are making fun of it. They're saying it doesn't work, or it's dangerous, or this or that, and none of it is true. And because there's a limited number of doctors using it, like me, that we don't have enough statistics to turn them around. Even though, if you look at just what I told you, with over 3,000 patients, you would think that would be enough.
Yeah.
For me, one would be enough. If you had something that nothing cures it, and it was turned around in one patient, to me, okay, let's pursue that. But that's not the case. They have to do double-blind studies. They're also, because of the drug companies being in tight with the FDA, I think you saw that in the video, that you billions of dollars and 12 years to get a thing approved that has anything to do with fetal stem cells, where normally it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars in a few years. No, they want to keep it away. That's one of the ways they keep it away.
Well, because this, like we said before, would put the pharmaceuticals out of business. And there is the moral idea about harvesting cells from unborn children, if you want to look at it that way, that is a little strange, you know? I mean, but then again, very potential tissue is being thrown away, and I think it's up to the mother if the mother says, because it's really the mother's choice, then maybe we can get over that moral problem that
way. And by the way, these mothers are having abortions. Abortion has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
No, I know, but that's
what they're asked is whether it's going to be thrown away as routine medical waste.
Yeah.
And what about that? If you think about it, is that right? If it's used,
if
then
this
it's
is
still
not,
alive, isn't it?
You mean,
if it's
so
thrown
if
away
this,
as routine medical waste, it's not alive.
So you're saying this, I think you're saying this is a way of honoring these...
Yes.
Unborn children or the potential children, instead of being thrown away, they're being honored to give life.
And they're alive.
And they're alive.
As opposed to being thrown away. There's a part of them that it continues to live in the new environment, which is a new patient.
Well, that's a different perspective on it. You know, I mean, I think, you know, abortion is a mother's right, and it is life, and if this life can be used, I mean, maybe this is the best thing that could happen to an unborn fetus if they would decide to terminate. I don't think it's never an easy decision, even though you said this is a routine form of birth control, which is kind of strange. I saw that there are easier forms of birth control
I don't understand it either, from a point of view of economics, from a point of view of just when anybody has an abortion, I don't care what they say, some part of them is disturbed by that and they remain disturbed whether they're conscious or unconscious. So why do you want to do it that way? Is beyond me, but
so,
that's the way it's being done in that culture. Getting back to what you were asking me before, you know, various cultures do various things, and they're not stopping and saying, "Well, why do I need an abortion?" I mean, I read about this birth control thing that they're using in England, and why can't I do that? Why do I have to have an abortion?
So do you think if this country was a little more enlightened, they could start, because there are probably, like I said before, thousands of abortions done in this country. And they're not good. I mean, you know, they're difficult decisions to make, but if they are done, then using some of this tissue for the benefit of others might put a whole sort of positive spin on it.
How different is that from having an organ transplant?
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. I mean, with the mother's consent, and it's always with the mother's consent, I think, you know, do you think it's possible from your position to present this to like some higher congressional board about, you know, the renovation of medical procedures? Is there a future for this, I'm saying, in this country? I'm asking.
Well, what usually happens in that situation, that they are from a certain group, the people in Congress, et cetera, and they're going to support the any other group that's in the same category. Like, they're going to support the doctor. They're not going to want to do anything that's going to change the system, because maybe then someone will come after them. But that's the way it is. And I told you a little while ago, that medical expert, when he was told, well, what happens if you see thousands? No, that wouldn't change my mind. That you would think that if the information was given, that there would be a change. I don't believe so. I think the way that it comes from the people themselves. And that's what I'm trying to do with the documentary and with my career at this point, is allowing a parent to have a choice. Just have a choice. Know that this exists. They don't know it exists. And as I was saying earlier, typically what they did is what they did with your father is, oh, don't do that.
Which is just anyone who's ever tried alternatives. And my father lived 10 years more than he would have if he had the standard medical treatment. So, but, you know, is there a way that there could be a future for this, or probably not, you're saying, at this point?
Well, No. I think there is a way, quite simple way. Uh-huh. If the president of the United States had a child who had sickle cell anemia, which is so painful, so horrible, and is in a certain culture more than other culture, and then received a fetal cell and was cured, you know, you have that kind of power. And once that starts and others follow, then it becomes a self-fulfilling treatment.
Yeah.
And
yes.
That's very exciting. A lot of our patients come from other patients who see them change and see the wonders of the fetal stem cell.
So how do people find you then? Because I know people I would tell about your clinic, and, you know, what's the procedure? How does it go if people want to see you and have the treatment of this?
Well, the simplest way, it's stemcellofamerica.com is the website. Stemcellofamerica.com. Another way is to literally call the clinic, which is 310-455-5300.
That's a California, but that gets to Mexico?
We also have an 800 number, and I'm ashamed to tell you that I don't remember what number is.
But they're calling California. Your clinic's in Mexico. Does that matter? Are they calling Mexico, or are they calling California?
No, they don't call Mexico. They call California, and then they understand. They understand that you can't do it here. If you could do it here, then obviously it would be terrific, and it wouldn't have all this prejudice and bias and negative to it.
Right. So they can call you, and then how long does it take to come down? If they call you, get an appointment, can they get an appointment right away? Or
if there's something going on and they want to come right away, something going on that they really should come right away, yes. We're there once a month.
Oh, you're only there once a month? It's not ongoing?
Excuse me?
It's not an ongoing center? You're only there once a month?
Once a month.
That okay, so if I think if people are really seriously ill, they should try this. I mean, why not?
Well, I wish everybody was like you. You're very, you have a very open mind, and you know that.
Yeah, no,
usually the first thing that people say about anything that's new is, no, that's not going to work. And you're, open to it. And therefore, someone like you would be someone who, if heaven forbid, had a problem, would be one of the first online to get help.
But there's
and
a lot of people
not need to know anything else. What?
No, but I'm just saying, yes, but there's a lot of people who are looking for alternatives. They just don't know where to look.
Exactly. And there's a lot of pressure out there to kill anything that's alternative, especially if it's really successful. And do you know how many hundreds of thousands of people die in hospitals that don't have to die because there are mistakes? All of that is ignored. And then they are trying to find a problem with the fetal stem cell. And it's really hard to find a problem because it's human material. It's nothing that there would be a problem.
So, but most doctors think that this doesn't work. But have you ever had, okay, maybe it hasn't helped anyone, but has it ever hurt anyone? I think you'd be honest.
No, that's another thing. God, you're great. That what the last thing that the lawyer said in the trial, we have to stop Dr. Rader from hurting anybody else. And then the lawyer said, who else has he hurt? Silence. No, never. And think about it. All those patients, and there's no, it didn't hurt anybody.
Well, so you could go down there, even if you're healthy, you can feel regenerated. And if you're not healthy, if you have some serious illness, you can go to your clinic and, not feel worse, absolutely feel better.
No, it's the opposite. Everybody yeah. always feels better no matter what it is that's going on with them. And even if you feel well, it is the closest thing to the fountain of youth. And we do get patients who are looking for longevity, things like that. I'm not that interested in it. On the other hand, I'm not going to turn them away. I'm more interested in the child that has been given a death sentence.
Right. And there's some beautiful examples in your film where you really change some children's, teenagers' lives and given them their life back. And that's really touching in this film.
Thank you.
No, it needs to be seen. I hope. Are you going to be at the premiere in? Oh no, I guess it just opened in L.A., right?
Yeah, we just opened in L.A.
And what kind of reception is the film getting in the theaters?
It's getting a very positive reception because anybody who's going, first of all, to go and look at it at this point is someone who has an interest. But then when they see what you saw. I mean, unless you don't have a heart, it's very hard not to really get attached to what it is that you see, because they're not actors, they're just regular people whose lives are completely turned around, and they're telling you about it, and telling you about their children.
Well, Dr. Rader, I really enjoyed this interview. I definitely tell people to see this film, The God Cells. It's a playing in New York and Los Angeles. Go to Stem Cells of America if you know anyone everyone would benefit from this sort of treatment. I've been talking to Dr. William Rader. Thank you for your time, Doctor.
Okay, by the way, it's Stem Cell, singular, of America. Stem Cell of America.
All right.
I keep complimenting you, but I'm not used to this. I'm used to, what do you mean? Why doesn't everybody do it? Why doesn't every doctor? And you're very supportive. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the time. Maybe I'll call you after the show. I just want to ask you a few questions. But this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for listening tonight, and good night.
Thank you.